Welcome, team. We have a stellar chart of cooperators standing by. Really wonderful. So, yeah, what time is it? Well, our opening song answers the question, what time is it? Here we go. It's Kith and Kin singing Gene Ritchie's song Cool of the Day. Here we go.
My Lord, he said unto me, do you like my garden so fair? Well, you may live in this garden if you keep my grasses green, and I'll return in the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. Oh, this earth is a garden, the garden of my Lord, and he walks in his garden in the cool of the day. Then my Lord, she said unto me, do you like my garden so pure? Well, you may live in this garden if you keep my waters clean, and I'll return in the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. Oh, this earth is a garden, the garden of my Lord. And he walks in his garden in the cool of the day. Then my Lord, he said unto me, do you like my garden so free? Well, you may live in this garden if you keep my people free, and I'll return in the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. Oh, this earth is a garden, the garden of my Lord, and he walks in his garden in the cool of the day.
So it's powerful. What time is it? It's the cool of the day. Oof. So, Ceres, Demeter, goddess of the earth, dwarf planet, has just moved into Scorpio. We'll look at the chart. The chart is amazing for us tonight, so embracing and encouraging. We can have our Saturn glitches, but then as I was sketching the chart, going, whoa, okay, we'll dive into it. But Saturn, in tarot cards is card 15. It's the devil who makes this hand gesture, which means it's the Vulcan salute, right? But it also means all that you see is all there is. And so the devil is not a supernatural boogity boogity character. It's if we can be snookered into believing that all that we see is all there is, that's the devil. But the quality associated with Saturn is mirth. It's a devil and he's got two little Adam and Eve figures in chains, but the chains are very loose. They could take them off. That's the joke, right? So tonight we want to go deep, like with where we just went, cool of the day, and then in association with mirth, to laugh at constraint, to substitute, enthusiasm for fear. Just this is just a very short comedic piece by this Finnish comedian. It's so charming. I laugh every time, and it's in keeping with our time meditation. Saturn meditation now. Here we go.
Distances, like distances, back home we measure with kilometers, and in here you measure them with minutes. So it's even more different. I asked another guy, I asked, how far is the airport? He said, 25 minutes. So are you saying that the airport is in the future? Are you telling me if I just wait 25 minutes, I will be at the airport?
So very charming, very charming. It makes me laugh and weep even on the umpteenth watching. So I think it's also his accent, his Finnish accent, and the delivery are fantastic. And the Finnish people are very trippy like that. There are national characters. I remember, when I had the great good fortune to, my brother-in-law won a Nobel Prize in medicine. He said, "Want to come to Stockholm?" I go, "Yes, I do." But the Finns started their party at 2 a.m., right? And they said, "We have," I mean, it's a very anarchist, kind of quality. Anyway, so there's the Finnish comedian. So, team, yes, talking about time and harvest equilibrium. And as I said, it's about time. We talked about time. So we're journeying to the equinox, and I like that in Aramaic, the word for evil means unripe, which has to do with time. And so I said, let that fun wordsmithing guide our participatory metaphoric play. So this is a great night for visualizing. The sun is ex at 26 Virgo is exactly opposite Neptune at 26 Pisces. So our metaphoric play, again, linguistic precision, Virgo guides the vision, Neptune Pisces, but also so I like saying, what do we do with unripe fruit? We put it in a brown paper bag. So let us all imagine a giant brown paper bag descending over all the halls of governance, just to ripen what is evil. So to animate these metaphors. So yeah. So as we are approaching, equinox, and I'm setting forth tomorrow morning for Viroqua, Wisconsin, which is why the equinox chart was for there. It's just a little town of 4,000, but it is a hotbed of anarcho-entheo astro animism. It's like, whoa, there's a bookstore. I mean, everything. And so my rich social life, orchestrated by Jerome, who's one of the founders of Organic Valley, is very beautiful and complex. So we're helping me prepare for the equinox. We're all preparing for the equinox. So equinox, right? Equal night and day. It's a festival about equality, night and day, Mars and Venus, and so on. And we remember Uranus trickster chimes in and forming a grand trident Earth. We'll see these things. But Uranus, nature's evolutionary trickster genius, but it's also associated with democracy, equality, synchronicity. And years ago, I wondered what do those things have to do with each other. And no sooner did I wonder that, see, we've got a, this is important now too. Whatever we wonder about is really attracts augury, that events stage themselves in such a way that it made it clear when we look down at somebody or up at somebody, there's no synchronicity. But if we treat each other equals, people have different roles to play, but in some fundamental equal straight across, the rate of synchronicity increases dramatically. I have seen this, and I just invite everyone to, like, well, check this out. which is great good news, because it means the dementors of doom, always and only self-referential when they accuse others of doing anything nefarious, it's all them. May have more lawyers, fewer and fewer, more lawyers and money, less and less. But we, if we treat each other well, like, hey, how you doing, with respect, a wonderful word that means to look at again, re look again, spect look, then the rate of then the right connections happen. And so that's very heartening. So let me bring up the chart of now just because it's so fantastic, in ways that I hadn't even noticed, doing the missive. So there's some spectacular things. The sun in Virgo, right? It's approaching, it will enter Libra on Saturday, very, very early in the morning. It's at 26 Virgo, opposite Neptune at 26 Pisces. And we go, ooh. So the power of imagination and dreams and metaphor, the brown paper bag is a good one. I think, let me bring us more over here. There we go. So that's pretty cool. And there's so many beautiful patterns. So the other one that is exact is the moon. I just changed degrees, but when we began, or we're supposed to begin, it was at 22 Scorpio 59, exactly opposite Uranus. Now it's close enough, but it has changed in the few minutes we've been assembling to 23 Scorpio, which is available to all of us. It's a person delivering a Sermon on a Mount, and the Sermon on the Mount is pretty good. I know Deborah has some critique of Neil Douglas Klotz and his translation of Aramaic. All critiques are welcome, but just for the fun of it, if it's not true, we'll make it true. Because I like what he said. He said Aramaic is this highly Neptune, and Neptune's trining the moon. Oh, that's very beautiful. The Sermon on the Mount, it delivered in Aramaic, highly metaphoric. It's a highly metaphoric language. And he said, when you translate Aramaic into Greek, you're losing like a lot, kind of like, ugh. And he said, what comes to us as blessed are the meek in Aramaic is more like, blessed are those who soften emotional rigidity within their hearts, for they shall have all the power of nature. And it's like, oh, you can really work with that. It's really wonderful. And I loved what he said also, that when Jesus says, be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves, the word that he uses for serpent is the same word for wisdom, serpent, and Eve. And so I said, so all persecution of the earth and women and religious wars is basically a translation error. And he said, yeah, pretty much intentional, but yeah, a translation error. So we come back to that and we go, ooh. And then just to point out what's available to us, and if you know the astrology, that's wonderful. And if you don't, just let it wash over you, remembering always that the planets out there correspond to our endogenous planets in here. I love the word endogenous. It means we have inner receptors. We have endogenous receptors for cannabis and for DMT. We have endogenous receptors for mythology and astrology, like Wudumanumana. So there's a dreamer in us and a language precision person full of critique with compassion. There we go. Critique with compassion. Solway and Coagula. So we have two pretty exact things: the moon opposite Uranus, the power of trickster, Sermon on the Mount, spicy. The ancestor realm of all spicy wizards and witches and learned people. Now is the time to incarnate into actuality all of our skills. I like a friend was asked what his definition of maturity was. It's a Saturn thing. And he said to have access to all of one's resources. And it's like, that's pretty good. That's a good start. And so this beautiful language yearns to make all of us available to all of us. We have language crafting and imagination. We have sizzle, sizzle, and experimental spice and everything ingenious and resilient in nature. And then I'm just going to point out a few cool things here. Ceres, Demeter, dwarf planet, goddess of the earth, on September 15th, moved into Scorpio. So it is now trining Saturn. So the Earth, in accord with our powerful dedication, Saturn, is that right? Yes, Saturn quintiles Uranus. Ooh, 72 degree angle, or close 70. Is that right? Yes, I think so. Wait a minute. No, never mind me. I'm making things up. It's a spacey time. Saturn quintiles Jupiter. There we go. Saturn quintiles Jupiter. Thank you. Thank you for the pause, team. Which is very much, wherever we find a time, because I'm packing to go on a trip, it pulls up time, and all the way back to childhood, part of me always wanted to, like, well, if we could just have more time, if we could just stop, if I could have another weekend. It's like this is all vain. Regret is completely useless. But it is very much the Saturn to Jupiter says, from got to, which is outsource Saturn, to get to, which is Jupiter. And we've played with it before, but it's a really jaunty thing to keep in one's magic backpack or pocket, just to tease oneself, like, I gotta do, oh no, I get to do the thing, and it's, oh, ha, there we go. So, yeah, and then Pluto has returned to the degree that it was when this country was founded, right? So we're now retrograde in the deep, deep, deep looking at this country. And so we have a festival of things to present tonight, and we'll brew it all together, may it be so. But here's another one of my favorite news guys, is the mid-liberal redneck. And I so value his commentary, so we'll go to the red, to the mid-liberal redneck. Here we go. Possibly.
Y'all, every time I hear something else about Lauren Boebert, I become more and more convinced that we somehow went to high school together. Like, I know this person, man. I do. Because, see, I am of the whiskey tango persuasion. And as such, I know another trash monster when I see one. Okay. I mean, it's not like she tries to hide it. She just got kicked out of a theater in Denver for vaping and hollering stuff. My fellow trailer Americans, I ask you, who among us, right? I mean, we do that. We do, get a little too excited at a public event, start cussing in front of the 8-year-olds, then act indignant when the bouncer shows up. Oh, what, is it illegal to have a good time now? I thought this was America, right? I know. I've been there myself. I have. Now, granted, I wasn't a congressperson at the time. I was 22, hammered drunk, and the Titans were losing again, but still, I've been there. Now, but I'm just saying, Boebert checks so many red ass boxes, it's insane. Like, she was born in Florida, aka the Fertile Crescent of crazy crackers, right? To a teen mom, Natch. She grew up on welfare and food stamps. She dropped out of high school when she herself got knocked up. Now that baby's having a baby, so she's a 36-year-old mamaw. She married, then divorced a guy who wouldn't stop pulling his dick out in public. She's always talking shit about having a gun in her purse, and she has an ongoing feud with the other craziest bitch in town. That is some top shelf trashery right there, y'all. Like, you just know she claims her grandma's one quarter Cherokee, right? You just know it. And I'm saying, all that makes me wish that I could root for this person. Kinda. I do, Like, if she was out here actually standing up for the little guy, taking the elites down a peg, reading stuff, knowing facts, shit like that, I'd be all for it. I'm like, hell yeah, finally some representation, right? But she's not. No. Boebert's dedicated her life to being wrong out loud. Every time she talks, it's like the ChatGPT of harmful ignorance. She outwardly hates other marginalized groups. She screws over our own people by trying to take away the same government benefit programs that kept her alive as a child. Lord, I cannot stand a ladder puller, y'all. Drives me crazy, right? Like I'm saying, I don't hate Lauren Boebert because she's white trash. I hate her because she's a piece of shit, right? And I know some of y'all are gonna hear that and be like, well, that's a little redundant, but it's not. It's really not. Okay? Some of the most genuine, kindest, most empathetic people I've ever known were trailer babies, and an affinity for Mountain Dew and the early works of Limp Bizkit does not change that fact, okay? This country would do well to have a chamber full of them, but alas, it is not to be. No, instead, we're stuck with Boebert. And Boebert is just another loudmouth, vindictive asshole who somehow took all the wrong lessons away from her life and now spends her time spewing misplaced rage and making us all look bad. It's a damn shame. I was trying to think, like, do we have any good, you know, like, trailer trash representation in Congress, you know? And I couldn't, I figured I might be forgetting somebody. I tried to Google it, but that's hard. If you Google Congress and trash, you mostly just get a bunch of articles about either Republicans being called trash or Republicans being mad that they were called trash, you know, or like journalistic socioeconomic, you know, studies about how it's bad to call people trash, which I firmly disagree with. Look, I mean, as long as you're trash, you can call people trash. Anyway, it made it hard to come up with any good results, and I might be forgetting somebody, but I was thinking, I don't know who we have. We need some representation in there. At first, I thought it was Fetterman. You know, that one of the reasons I love Fetterman so much is I was like, this is one of my people right here. Looked it up. Still think Fetterman's great, but like, his daddy was rich. He's from an affluent suburb. He went to Harvard, all this stuff. It's actually kind of typical senator shit, but I thought about it. And I, you know what? No, I don't care. I'm anointing him. He's honorary trash, right? Look, he's earned it. He's done all that real deal blue collar working class stuff. He's got all them tattoos. He looks like he wrestles at the county fair, right? He's always wearing a hoodie and cargo shorts, the official attire of burly wintertime trash everywhere. All right, he's one of us. We're claiming him, okay? That's what I decided. We're claiming John Fetterman. Whether he likes it or not, he's trash now. But in a good way, the good kind. You know what I'm saying? He's a trash champion. That's what he is. Trash champion John Fetterman. Put that on a sign.
So just to see how the planets work, let me just play with that. It's very super charming and good for us to kind of inhale. So it's critique, Virgo, 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 with compassion. Critique with compassion and humor. Right. And this is part of what we want to fill our magic backpacks with, which is critique. And he's striking a really important to our Pisces selves, collective selves here, where Pisces is radical. It is everything that has been forgotten by mainstream culture, but must be remembered. The power of dedication, the power of imagination, power of collective community ritual. And it's also everything that mainstream culture has exiled, imprisoned, dissed, undervalued, but is of great value, right? So this part of the language, you know, the backstage intelligences say, oh, humans, don't be distracted by, you know, a celebrity hoo-ha. Look at what's been forgotten that we must remember. What has been exiled or imprisoned or undervalued, but is of great value, right? So it's an intrinsic empathic identification with outsider, and he's tapping into that, going, you know, yes, we root for the outsider, the upstart, you know, but this is the toxic mimic. This is the thing that fills the slot, the crucial metaphor for us to keep forever of the toxic mimic. Like all good metaphors, it comes from actual fact. You know, it was first discovered that, you know, plastics have a toxic mimic of estrogen, right? So our bodies absorb the toxic mimic and can't absorb the real. If we have the toxic mimic of a celebrity culture, it fills our slots as opposed to the liberating quality of a guiding mythos. And we go, right. So. And then also, so that's a good example of Sun opposite Neptune with some wonderful spicy humor in there, fundamentally good-hearted, and an excellent use of bad language for liberating effect. I find it super wonderful, you know. And it's part of our newses, right? So mid-liberal redneck, these are prolific people. He puts out, you know, a lot. But anyway, so. So he's to be counted on, you know. And we'll leave that for there. But also, you know, let us make it easy for anybody who wants to chime in or say something, or what does that mean, or this is what's on my mind, or maybe I'll go back to the feel free. Let me just go back to the chart, because there's such beauty and elegance, right? It was always humans seeing the beautiful pattern of the sky to tease it to be able to discern the guiding beautiful pattern on earth, you know, on earth as it is in heaven, as above, so below, all one particular dance. But it's a little hard to see, so I'm going to trace it with my mouse. But we look at different key angles. The moon and Scorpio, Sermon on the Mount, all of our spicy, spicy selves, has a 60-degree angle to Pluto, the US Pluto. We got to look at everything. We got to go down and look at everything, you know, and it's micro and macro. For me, also preparing to go on a trip, it's like, you know, cleaning out, I must clean out this closet I haven't touched in 10 years. Just the thing. And that's what the country's got. I've found amazing things, as well as quite a lot of mold. And that's also in our country's closets, you know, like, oh, here's this beautiful thing. Like, oh, and here's this moldy, horrible, corrupt thing. But the moon, a 60-degree angle called a sextile, is a creative, positive working. So the moon in Scorpio, it's called Pluto's sign. You know, cooperatives are standing by. Sextiles Pluto going, we want to engage all of our spiciness, all of our spiciness. Pluto then sextiles Neptune. It's okay, so the moon sextiles Pluto, Pluto sextiles Neptune, Neptune sextiles Uranus. Right. So, oh wait, there's more. Let me start over again. The sun sextiles the moon. The moon sextiles Pluto. Pluto sextiles Neptune. Neptune sextiles Uranus. You can't see it as beautifully. You can look at the little green lines, but it's like almost a complete hexagon. It's so elegant. It's like, oh, so beautiful. So it's spiciness that wants a purpose, that's rousing in all of us, that says, you know, it's a true mythology to go, we got stuff to do. We don't always know what it is, but we know we got stuff to do. And it has to do with our powerful dreaming, our mythologizing. Neptune's at the image of a vision of peace, a harvest moon, a vision of peace. It's James Hillman's Uranus. I had the fun of being with him on his Uranus return, and teasing him. And then Neptune sextiles Uranus. So wonderful. So and then Uranus opposes back to the moon and trines the sun in a grand trine in Earth. All right. So it's beautiful and elegant. It's cooperating. It's cooperating. These 60-degree angles are they want to dance. They want to dance. And let's think of the equinox that we're moving towards as where we step into the center of the storm where it's still, you know, and where we dance and are danced. You know, everything that's been falsely estranged. Like people go, oh, heart versus thinking. No, they like each other. They like each other. You know, mythology versus science. No, they love each other. They belong together. All that's been falsely estranged now wanting to come back at this crucial and dangerous time in awareness of danger. Awareness of danger, you know, stirs the creative powers of our trickster ingenuity and our humbleness, you know, to Pluto likes to bring us to our knees going, help, you know, and it's as though in a fairy tale, fairy tales very in play, the backstage goes, thank God they finally ask for help. We'd like to help, but it requires an invitation. We can't help unless we're invited, right? And this powerful time towards equinox, it's where, you know, from Virgo, the realm of Mercury, you know, Hermes, the first great technology of cooperation being language crafting. And then enters Libra. So Mercury hands the baton to Venus, the art of invitation, inviting in, you know, all great gatherings, the death and resurrection show that lives. We have endogenous receptors, you know, great book called The Death and Resurrection Show by this British guy, Rogan Taylor. The entire history of people gathering together, he goes as far back as he could go, you know, like 25,000 years. And then he takes it through Greek theater and everything theater and all the way into the modern world. What the toxic mimic of what passes for theater, as well as the real. And he says, you know, what you find is always like the Cave of Forgotten Dreams, that the art and so on. Always, it was people inviting in power. Pluto says, we don't source power, we invite it. The toxic mimic of Pluto's power is control or dominance. And we go, no, control and dominance are the toxic mimic of power. So what he says in his studies is throughout time, it's always people gathering to invite in, whatever is known or not known, according to the Taurus template of what we put on our altar. Come on in, power, and animate this myth, this vision, this template, this liberating wish for ourselves and the world. Come on in. And that's one of the essences, the invitation. And we're moving into this invitational time. So then, as he tracks it into the modern world, he says, well, we all go even to movies or concerts, and may again, with some endogenous knowing that something amazing that we need is going to be called into ourselves, our personal lives, and the community. He says, but usually it's not. Right. So the modern world makes up for content with, men fighting and whatever. So Pluto says, but I'm giving you and America, a giant cauldron into which to toss things. The toxic mimic of community is a cult, but it's a beautiful, beautiful pattern that is around us all and humming those parts of us inside. Oh, look, the moon has just set where I am. Live action. How cool, how cool. So our spicy selves, our without a mission selves, our imaginative, mythological, and musical selves, our liberating selves, in accord. And then for bonus points, we have what's called a grand trine in Earth. All right, so Neptune, dreams, vision, imagination, music, fairy tales, metaphors. Opposite Saturn, opposite the Sun. The Sun trines Pluto. Pluto trines Uranus. Uranus trines back. So a grand trine, equilateral triangle. The medievals thought of it as, great genius and potential. It's got a challenging side, as everything does. He says it's an enclosed structure. So it's that issue of will we do it? Will we invite in the power necessary to have a culture of reverent ingenuity and tolerance and invitation or not? When we see a grand trine, what we want to see is what we do see is something. Neptune says, let's dissolve all certainty, let's give incentive. And Pluto chimes in and says, and let's have people be aware of the danger, how dangerous it is. And Jupiter is rising in the east right now, and Saturn is quintile Jupiter. So the power of us all as storytellers, investigative storytellers. So here's another news. I see. Right. Well, we're playing with things. Another news, we're about to have Politics Girl. I couldn't completely remember which one this was, but now I do, and it's okay. It's an exhortation. Richard first turned me on to her, and so let's have Politics Girl exhorting. Oh, wait, let me clear my screen here. There we go.
Okay, so be prepared to be annoyed and then hopefully fired up. Remember that election for the Supreme Court in Wisconsin last April? The one that Janet Protasiewicz won by 11 points that changed the makeup of that court? A court that had been 4-3 for the far right for years? A court that had allowed the most gerrymandered maps in the country so that 6 of the state's 8 congressional districts went to Republicans despite the state itself being evenly split, if not Democratic leaning? The court that allowed almost every and all form of voter suppression so Republicans ended up with 65% of the state house despite only having 50% of the vote? The court that was ready to uphold the reinstated abortion law from 1849. The one that made abortion all but illegal and forced medical students to leave the state in order to complete their OBGYN training. Do you remember that election? It was a big deal because the people who believed in democracy and fairness worked their hearts out to get people out to the polls and the extremists lost. Over a million people voted for the justice who believed in fair districts and the rule of law and reproductive freedom. And that really should be the end of the story, because the people came out and made their voices heard. But if we've learned anything over the past 6 years, it's that the Republicans no longer care what the people think. It's why the state was gerrymandered in the first place. If you can't beat your opponent, then you rig the game to make sure they can't win. And if they do win, then, like Donald Trump or Carrie Lake, you claim they didn't. But what if they win by so many votes that you can't get people to buy that the election was rigged? Well, the new plan is to have the winner removed. So if you're unable to beat or cheat, you impeach. The Wisconsin Republicans are doing what our House Republicans are doing right now, trying to get rid of a popular chosen representative that they don't like. So before Justice Protasiewicz even has the opportunity to even hear a case, the Wisconsin Republicans are threatening to impeach, convict, and remove her from the bench. For what? Doesn't matter. Because it's nothing more than an obscene and unconstitutional power grab from a party that doesn't know how to lose and can't win. Instead of accepting the will of the voter, which as voters we should all want, Republicans have filed two bogus lawsuits to stop the justice from ruling on cases that they don't want her to rule on. Particularly their blatant gerrymander of the state that gave them the power in the first place. In fact, they wouldn't have the votes to impeach her if the previous Supreme Court hadn't rigged the maps to give them the votes. And now they're saying, we're going to use our unfair power advantage to make sure you can't rule on our unfair power advantage. They're basically saying, you can stay provided you recuse yourself from any cases we don't want you ruling on. But she's not going to do that because that's insane and basically makes the Supreme Court just an arm of the state legislature and not its own independent body. So they're going to use their majority to impeach and remove her instead. But isn't that illegal? Well, kinda, but not really, because no one's ever done it before. When the voters elect someone, we assume politicians can't just come in and overturn that election to stay in power. That feels like a pretty basic American value. And yet, here we are, witnessing yet another fundamental attack on our system of government by the Republican Party. Our country, state and federal, has been set up to have three co-equal branches, not a dictatorship of any one. This potential action threatens not only the voters of Wisconsin, who Republican representatives want to disenfranchise, but our entire democracy. Because if a Republican legislature is simply allowed to overturn the will of the voter, especially for a Supreme Court justice that's one of the only people that can hold them accountable, then how are we not setting ourselves up for all future court rulings to just be at the whim of whatever party has the legislative majority? I should also remind you that back in 2020, Wisconsin came the closest of any state to overturning the presidential election. A single vote on their court was the difference between the Republicans keeping or overturning President Biden's victory. So we can't be playing games with this seat. It shouldn't matter if you're a liberal or a conservative, if you lean left or right, or if you agree with the policy positions of the Wisconsin Republicans. The question is, do you think your vote should count? Because if election results can simply be overturned, if the people in power don't like the results, then we no longer have elections. And that serves no one but the most corrupt people in power. And if you're thinking, well, if the justice is removed, then can't we just have another election to fill her seat? Yeah, we can. But what would be the point? Aside from just continually wasting taxpayer money, we already know that if a liberal wins, the Republican legislature is just going to turn around and impeach them. Until what? Until they finally get a justice that they want? That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. So what do we do to offset this desperate, unprecedented attempt to erase the vote of a million people and lock in gerrymandered maps and a near-total abortion ban and to further the plot to overturn the 2024 presidential election? Well, we get involved. The Democratic Party of Wisconsin has responded to this sham impeachment by launching a campaign called Defend Justice, ensuring that Wisconsin state legislators publicly commit to voting against this undemocratic move and to let the Wisconsin public know exactly what the GOP is trying to do to them. Defend Justice isn't about winning an election. It's about ensuring the survival of our very democracy. All Democratic legislators have already come out in force against this potential impeachment. What we need now are Republican legislators who will choose the will of the people over the will of their party. Legislators who have the courage to vote for what is right and not just what's best for them. I know Wisconsin must have Republican representatives who aren't ready to just give up on democracy. There are a fair amount of state senators whose own constituents voted in majority for Justice Protasiewicz. Are they really willing to tell those people that their vote doesn't count? I'm looking at state senators like Robert Cowles, Rob Hutton, Rachel Cabral Guevara, Devin LeMatteu, or Eric Wimberger. You guys know this is wrong. For goodness sake, stand up and have the courage to shut this undemocratic endeavor down. Americans need to come together on this. We need to say we've had enough of these games. The future of our democracy is bigger than our party preference. And a threat to any votes is a threat to all votes. So go to defendjustice.com and find out what you can do to help. Make it clear to the Wisconsin Republicans that you find their unconstitutional and anti-democratic threat to impeach Justice Protasiewicz unacceptable, and that following through with it will be a political disaster for them and the country. I think we can all agree we've had enough political disasters to last a lifetime. It's time we said enough is enough. Defend Wisconsin. Defend our votes. Defendjustice.com.
Yes. So, whoops, what am I going to do? I guess I'll go to the speaker thing. but yeah, so I'm headed to Wisconsin, right? A place I've been maybe once, you know, and we're going to go swim in the Mississippi right before the equinox. I've never done that. I don't know if I've seen the Mississippi, but, you know, but all of that is important. It turns out, as she delineates, you know, Wisconsin, very important. So whenever I go anywhere, I like to, what's going on there and what's the history and how does it resonate and how are we connected and how is it important to all of us? So there was a famous Republican fighting Bob La Follette that I found out after my dad died. He was a big supporter, prairie populism. And fighting Bob La Follette is where FDR got all of his ideas for the New Deal, because fighting Bob La Follette had already implemented them in Wisconsin. He'd already implemented the Social Security. He'd already implemented, you know, I mean, all of the things that we like. And we go, great, a Republican. And we go, So what do we bring to the welcome critique and focus on the danger? Let me just go back to the chart for fun. And we go, we bring mythological participation. You know, when you meet demons in the underworld, you always ask them, what's your story? But also, you know, from you know, a show I was doing with my friend Josh Barron, who's an expert or whatever on cults, right, and the cultiness of now. But he said, remember, you know, in Tibetan Buddhism, you know, Milarepa was a highway murderer and a thug, right? And you subvert the demon into being a Dharma protector, right? So it's like in Doris Lessing's novel, Shikasta, pretty good. when humans, all of us come with something known or unknown to contribute and do. And she posits that when people are at a critical point of conscience to go with their true contribution or expediency and personal Hinayana honky, personal salvation, there's a bevy of spirits. Let's be those spirits, reminding them, as Politics Girl is sort of saying, reminding them of what's at stake, you know, democracy, and to step up. And all of the Wisconsin legislator parts of ourselves, right, we just speak to them going, remember what you came to do. Remember, snap out of the trance. Remember your mission. You know, and, you know, there's a certain point in which, you know, like in chemistry, the little teensy bit I know, you know, but when you, you know, saturation, right? When you might add sugar to water and it dissolves, sugar to water, it dissolves, and then just one more little bit of sugar and it all falls out. And many great political movies, some very ancient, there's a movie called 7 Days in May, which is pretty fantastic. It was JFK's favorite novel by Fletcher Knebel. I saw it with my mother, but it's good. It's about a coup, a planned coup. And the crucial part for us at the moment is, you know, and there's the army in the coup and they want to take out the president because he wants to have peace and do good things and implement Social Security and all kinds of stuff. But there comes a point at which the guy who was really, you know, pretty evil, not the most evil guy, but the medium evil guy, goes, too much, can't do it. Right. And we want to see that and spiral that out to do whatever opportunities open before us for conversations, skillful, you know, compassionate, quintiles, remember, Saturn to Jupiter, Irresistible eloquence, the capacity to hold a true perception so that it hums in others, so we don't have to convince anybody. Convince means conquer, right? You know? and this is also part of our aspiration, the Dream News Council, which is the backstage, the memosphere, to fill it with such powerful critique and goodness, you know, that it magnetizes and invites, you know, the best part of everybody to play. And also I wanted to hear Politics Girl and Will again so that I can correctly pronounce Janet Prolasevich. Well, I think that's it, Prolasevich, right? And to know that, you know, it was one Supreme Court justice in Wisconsin that if they'd voted the other way, the Biden election would not have been certified, right? It's very, you know, it's amazing that it's this close, but that's why, you know, and the polls and all are haunting, but we do not pay attention to them, right? but what do we want to pour forth out there, and this invitation for everybody to rise to the occasion? There is a beautiful reminder, Mars at 15 degrees of Libra, which is Alexandria Ocasio's Mars as well. I'm pretty sure it's her Mars, but it's a boat dock wrecked by storms. We have a lot of that. Rebuilding the entire world. We go, okay, in accord with beauty and design. So it's 15 Libra, quirky angle to Jupiter at 15 Taurus. This is so wonderful. Libra is the realm of Venus in social participatory ways. Taurus is the animistic Venus. They are wanting to be in accord, right? For all of us to pledge in our hearts, you know, in our sacred vows, to be cultural agents on behalf of what we love in nature. The river, the tree, the antelope, the sea, the slime mold, whatever it is, we go, right, you know. And Jupiter is at 15 Taurus, called one of the four gates of power, another invitation. Come on in, guiding wisdom of nature. And to transcend the political polarity, you know, when Biden canceled all of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge drilling licenses that the former guy had put in place, all but one, right? There's the Willow Project. And part of our strategy is, let's make bad projects too expensive. There we go. But you know, and there's all this, you know, progressive snark going in Biden. But I will say this, that, you know, when Biden canceled the drilling leases on the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, our great colleague, Sarah James, Gwich-in Elder, who's been an indefatigable defender of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, wept with joy. And her colleague, Carol Hoover, a great friend of mine, they've been on radio a million times. But Sarah has been kind of working this. And it's like, oh, so important, so important. You know, and Dune Lankert was on the front page of the Washington Post, which is, you know, like a week or so back. He's too busy with media requests, right? We'll have a conversation at some point. Great ally. Yeah, Deborah knows him, right? For, you know, again, sustainable fishing, sustainable seaweed farming, you know, front page Washington Post, good stuff. And so it's like, right, we work with what's possible, you know, and, you know, and people go, oh, you know, Biden, you know, and it's like, no, that's good, inch by inch, workable, persuadable. You know, the moon coming up on his son, Neptune trining Biden's son, and weirdly, as I think I'd mentioned before, RFK Sr., Robert F. Kennedy Sr., assassinated on June 5th, 1969. Yes, I think that's right. same birthday as Biden, right? November 20th, with the sun at 27 degrees of Scorpio, which is the king of the fairies returns to his domain. So Bobby Kennedy Sr., Remember, there was an evolution. What was a really corrupt guy. I mean, he was a really nasty Scorpio. He worked with Roy Cohn, most corrupt lawyer in America. He wiretapped Martin Luther King Jr.'s phones, right? And it was only later that he's like, oh, wait a minute, peace, that's a good idea, right? And civil rights, those are good ideas. It was a long way for him to get there, right? We want nuance and complexity, and people change, right? And just the fact that Biden and RFK Sr.'s birthdays are the same, Neptune's trining them, going, and they both had a kind of redemptive Celtic magic in the slow unfurling, a little faster for Bobby Kennedy. Like, oh wait, the magic. And in Biden, Biden has changed, and conversations with Bernie Sanders, and I feel ardently that, to engage our pewter shields, because the Washington Post has also been super annoying. I can't even remember, like, that, again, hostages freed, terrible for Biden. People complain about new roads. I mean, it really is like just out of hand. So it's like, all right, so we want to not be seduced by glamorous and go, where can we work? Where is there quiet, too quiet, good going that we can work with, around the edges? And so invite in, I think it's time to invite in what we've done before in past dream councils, our pewter shield of protection to deflect anything that takes us or the Biden part of us or the anything part of us, away from our dedication to doing good, and sends it back. Again, Neptune is dreams, vision, imagination, music, water. Water reflects a reverse image, and again, the power of metaphors. Metaphors are especially eager to incarnate into actuality. So we go, yeah, and protection against around voting officials and democracy and voting rights and to begin even more deeply this week and on, because it's so wonderful that we have four more. I like this. I like it. We're getting going now. To begin to participate in protecting and guiding and pledging and vowing as part of that dynamic. But so yeah, so we bring all the chapters of our lives, I have found, are really reporting in. It's why I call Viroqua, Wisconsin, and myself, anarcho-entheo astro-animism, endogenous indigeneity, right? Again, endogenous anarcho-entheo-animism, all of those things, because and my colleague Sean, who's on the call, we have weirdly similar journeys of, being kind of, I was sort of preternaturally grumpy, precocious, teen lefty. Religion's a crutch, and this is all privileged nonsense, and this is not real education, whatever. And then entheogens, as a sullen teenager, was like, oh wait, there's a big beauty here to collaborate with, in Andy Weil's salon. We begin studying tarot and the Kabbalah and reading everything in the Whole Earth Catalog and all the great mythologists. We were reading Carl Jung while tripping, responsible drug use. And then off I go to become an astrologer. This is the very short version. And then, met two super smart, dangerously smart, interesting people, Kenneth Baker and Tonya Aminoff in Rhode Island, who had been deeply studying anarchism. And they said, oh, you give us astrology and metaphysics, and we give you anarchism. And I go, right. And then here it is, in the memesphere, in the collective memesphere books that I will be honoring this week on radio, which are about occult features of anarchism. And it's like, I knew it. I knew they belonged together. It was a false estrangement, not this grumpy kind of, I don't know, vituperative infighting left thing, but an intrinsic sense that if everybody, and this crosses all borders, if everybody taps into their fundamental authentic selves, then self-organizing happens. And it's like Bo that we have. I can't remember if we played Bo, but we've recommended Bo on YouTube. I really like a lot of his. He's again prolific news, puts out two or three. He's like Heather Cox Richardson, who puts out an essay on American politics and history per day. Bo puts out several commentaries per day. They're really useful. But Bo says, the vision of community. And how we want to be available to kind of polish our receptors. Like if Yorna says, this season that we're embarking on is a powerful pulse but of synchronicity in accord with our dedication. So as we wonder what we're dedicated to, that inner wondering strengthens our outward signal. Dee 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 dee. So we're more likely to be synchronized, danced, synchronized swimming and acting, danced into place where we can do the most good, have the most fun, contribute our gifts. Right. So I love this in my own life. I go, oh, right, it's the flowing together. It's like what I'd mentioned last week, or before, about the New Orleans Voodoo Tarot being a fantastic syncretism of Ifa, Vodun, and the Kabbalah. And my friend, Cuban Santero Marcelino said, well, that's because they started off as one thing, right? So what we call anarchism, and I'm in favor of throwing out all isms, really, as a language. There's a great Jamaican novel called Power Game, and the Rasta leader guy goes, no ism, schism, right? And we go, and remember, in this liberating language, there is no prison for the unexpected. There's no prison for the unexpected metaphor or language. So we want to keep refreshing, refreshing. And every kerfuffle is a kind of incentive to do that. Sometimes I notice people hoovering vast paragraphs of my words, right? And I go, I think boundaries are good there too. But I think part of our response is like plenty more where that came from. Plenty more. We keep moving. We keep moving. As soon as something becomes a brand, there's a lot of resonance in that. Now, we have an incentive, like the Gurr thing. We could worship the Gurr or go, no, incentive to create more, And then we use the words, like we use diagnostic terms to start the conversation, but then maybe we throw them into the cauldron and go, what's a more liberating story? So anarchism for the moment, and then I think it's fun to throw isms into the cauldron, even though, the visionary activists show ists as well. It's like I'm stuck with it. But it's got a good purpose, but it's like keeping the language fresh. Is that a fun hum for everybody? Possibly. There's about two people in the waiting room. Yes. All right. I will admit them. I hope they're part of our team. Yes. So do people, how, let me check in with reality here. How are we doing, team? How are we feeling? Is this resonant? Is this useful? Are you checking your phone? I mean, what's up with the team? What does it make you think, or feel, or there? And there's wonderful Elizabeth. Just because, so grateful, Elizabeth, to your incredibly inspiring, fantastic. I know we're gonna. Yes, we're going to honor briefly Zelensky, and also yes, the wonderful collage from our councilmate Elizabeth. Do you want to say anything about your collage, Elizabeth, just for fun? Oh, wait, yes.
I just was so inspired by Pat and the idea of sweeping the halls of justice, but I couldn't imagine myself, using a broom that way. I just decided to think of another creative way to involve sweeping the halls of justice clean of corruption. And I love the idea of creating those figures out of starlight and out of different constellations. And so I just cut various silhouettes out of different shapes of stars and created the image of just using that energy to create like a shield, like you were saying, like a pewter shield, like create a shield of protection and a shield of energy for the whatever process that she's going through, so that the, you know, the will of the voters in Wisconsin can be upheld and democracy can be upheld. So I just wanted to express my enthusiasm for that happening.
Yeah, no, that's so super, super wonderful. And just for the fun of it, I'll just to remind people, I'll just share the whole screen here. What the hell?
There she is. There's Janet.
There
P.
she is. That's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. But it's wonderful. And may this be like a resonant quintile that inspires us all to do such collages. You know, fabulous. And we're gonna go effective, right? That's yeah. That's wonderful. And I'm gonna put Janet inside the chart of now for fun. Wait a minute, I can do this. Just don't look at everything else here. Just for the fun of it. Is that somebody moaning? So for the fun of it, okay. So we have so here's the collage protective Janet. The inner rim is Janet Protasiewicz's chart. Oh look, the moon's on her Mercury. She's listening. We're backing her up. The U.S. Pluto is on her Pallas Athena, Prisma, goddess of, you know, justice in a way, 27 Capricorn. I made up the time, but I find noon charts work great. Gives her a 2 Pisces rising. Saturn's right there going, whoo, we're backing you up. You're an important thing here. When Mercury stationed to go direct, it was at 8 Virgo, right on her Pluto. Always a learned person aware of danger. And we go, ooh, okay. You know, wishing well, but a spirited, and then also let's honor this. And also, you know, we'll play with, well, we'll see how many charts we want to play with, but her Venus, the beautiful and the useful, deeply dedicated. We have a deeply dedicated, sharp, smart person, you know, of considerable ethics. Uranus in the sky goes around every 84 years, right? Is it retrograde inward? Let me just do a little homage to the metaphor of retrograde motion, or how we can play with it. You know, little RX beside planets means they appear to us to be going backwards for a short way, but let's think of it as if we were holding a bow and pulling backwards a bowstring and arrow. And I like this, I'm self-amused by this metaphor, as though the bowstring and the arrow goes, oh, we're not getting anywhere. In fact, we're going backwards. But the bow says, no, you're really gonna like this. To the extent that we pull in and back in dedication, and then on the direct motion, we go, ftum! Right. And that's, I think, also Elizabeth's beautiful collage of collage homage, powerful magic collage. May we all be inspired to do fun things, you know, as part of that. And it's unlocking this. And also part of the beauty of this language is always about our interior psyche and its connection through a thin membrane we call identity from the whole huge big conversation. So as an agent of woofy liberating, we go, right, you know, and prevailing in some way. And let's also remember, you know, Neptune reversal magic, you know, our bogus be gone, but also the boomerang. I like boomerang, boo with a lemon meringue pie in the face, right? So you know, boomerang, may it go back at you. The deflection, you know. So Uranus would say to all of us, you know, and to here we are, you know, I will connect you, Janet Protasiewicz, to the coolest things possible to in dedication to equality, democracy, and truthfulness, and may that shine forth through all of the obscure. We also have Neptune trining her Mercury in Scorpio. And what I like saying to all of us as Neptune transits every 165 years, some part of us that it would say, I am a huge intelligence. I am the intelligence of Dream News Council. I am, we're all in this thing together. We're all one thing, as Mary Poppins teaches us, and I sent you that piece. So Neptune says, I am collective group mind. Backstage atmospheric magic is the first place for the trickster to start, to be backstage and to, with collages and writing and meditation and even privacy when we're not together, to be brewing, okay, details. Here's the Sun and Neptune again. The power of details and order, and Virgo called the ruler of ritual magic, is just the arranging of things, is conducive to the atmosphere. Again, thinking and feeling back together. When
Can
we,
I say something, one last thing about that, Caroline? That
please, please.
Pluto at that 8 degrees Virgo, that's where my Uranus is. And so I felt like I wanted to do something liberating for her situation. And also, I think you had mentioned that the Sabian symbol for that degree also has to do with, expressionistic expression of, you can probably quote it better, but
No,
I
it's just expressionist artist at work, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
and futuristic images or something like that. I remember it, but yeah, so it just seemed like the perfect way to liberate her with that, because that was the degree that in my chart I share with her chart. So I hope to liberate her from the all the and hope as a team we can work together to liberate her from the people that are trying to imprison her.
Yes, yeah, right, or remove her into inefficacy. Her north node of the moon is the same as Marie Laveau's sun, Sun, the great voodoo queen of New Orleans. It's got a wonderful Sabian to it, which is a woman gives each of her children a spark of barley and a loaf of bread and sends them out into the world. Influential, the infinite ways in which small gestures have a huge effect. And we go, right, we love that too. So as a micro Wisconsin, but if anything, anywhere is everywhere. And then just for all of us, what I like to say, or assuming the voice of Neptune, Neptune says, I am big dream news consciousness, but I'm talking to all of you by the opposition to the sun in the sky. Whoops, there we are. Saying, imagine that the deepest, most soulful parts of all of us are now increasingly welcome in the memesphere. There we go. It's just entertain that possibility. For the Janet Protasiewicz part of ourselves, Neptune trines her Mercury in Scorpio, going, your spicy, sharp, ironic, stand up for self, dedicated to collective good self is welcome. It's like the two Julians in Tennessee who were so well prepared. May it be that everyone under, nefarious, creepitudinous attack, be quite well prepared. May we all rise to the occasion. There's that dynamic. Yeah, and I think, well, I'm gonna cut this out, Elizabeth, and put it on our dream wall. Dream wall. It's as some things are always true, but there are times when they are truer. So for us to make images of the desirable, everything goes, yes, small little steps, that'll do. That's a wonderful thing. So there, now let me see if I can find. Oh yeah, okay, we'll restore that back. All right, goodbye, Janet. All right, back to everybody. So yeah, and then right, so anyway, so I love the Janet Protasiewicz. We're going to Okay, here we go. We're going to move from Janet to Buffy St. Marie, who will be our closing. But I just wanted to give a little look to her. Already, I can do this. I'm just going to put Buffy St. Marie in the middle here. Okay, so now. So we're not quite closing, but we're inching towards closing just for fun. And Buffy St. Marie, 1 degree Pisces, Saturn and Pisces right there, the empathic outsider. she is when we see the rousing song that I always love so much, but there's so much of her. She's 82 now, you know, she was 76 when she did the song that we're going to see. And it's like, you know, transcend. She's born at the exact Saturn Jupiter conjunction, you know, 1940, 1941. And that's also the conjunction in 2000 that the Parkland youth were born with, you know, when news stories happen, like the Parkland youth who school shooting, you know, but they really did metabolize, you know, trauma into dangerous, beautiful assignment. They're so active, and they had a Saturn Jupiter conjunction in Taurus as well, going, oh, earth stewards, rising storytellers, powerful. These generational passing of batons to and fro. Look, she's having her Uranus return right this second. Oh, we send her woofiness too. So Saturn's on her sun, everything to which she's been dedicated. We're grateful. You know, Jupiter, she's having her Jupiter return, right? Jupiter's going to retrograde back over her Jupiter and Saturn, her dedication to powerful storytelling and beauty in Taurus, the throat, the beautiful song. Look, her, she's having Uranus goes around every 84 years. That today is the day, this all around now, but she's having her Uranus return. So we send just lots of woofy love and regard. The sun's at 26 Virgo, that's on her Neptune. That's very exciting. All right. To me, let me aspire to amplify it. So it's like, all right, the outer rim is where the planets are, which is for all of us now. And the inner rim happens to be the Buffy St. Marie chart, part of all of us, right? So it's so beautiful, more beautiful than I had even known until I just put it up here. The sun's at 26 Virgo. Her Neptune's 26 Virgo. Neptune's in the skies at 26 Pisces, opposite her Neptune. She's having her Uranus return, her Jupiter return, and Neptune opposite Neptune. So if as we get to 82, all kinds of cool things happen. You know, let's unleash even more, you know, of what she's got going on. And Neptune squaring her fabulous moon, in Sagittarius, the syncretism is a sacrament, the casting net of curiosity widely, the inhaling it, running it by our Virgo team of critique. I like this from here, but not this. Collaging and putting out again. And we go, that's so great. So keep that in mind when we hear her. All right, so now, all right, we'll restore that. Okay, there we go. And then I think we'll save and many of you probably know, and then just to honor, you know, what I'd sent out to everybody before, because I rummaged across many things, all different parts of our lives as we clean out closets and files, going, oh, this is really useful. My goodness. It's still that kind of a time. And let's see here. What am I gonna do? Okay, stop the share. And then I'll just share the whole messy thing. Because I want to bring up, you know, what I'd sent to everybody. And found this wonderful istikara, a request for spiritual or practical assistance in the form of a dream. It's like, right, not only Chiron and the Asclepion all happening, you know, but it's a wonderful, wonderful book called They Have a Word for It, which is words in different languages that are one word. Like in Russian, apparently, there's one word for somebody who used to be a lover and you like them a lot, but you're uncomfortable seeing them. One word. Okay. I mean, many things. This is deeper. And says English has words for prayer and hope and concentration, but Arabic combines and transcends these three concepts with a word for the psycho-spiritual art of solving problems in your sleep, istikhara. It's like, ooh, Neptune says that's quite possible. Again, we invite in all of our skills, all of our resources. You know, it's in your missive, or two of them actually, because we sent it to you on Friday, and then today again. But Descartes' discoveries of the scientific method were all attributed, well, by their discoverers, to knowledge transmitted in dreams. And then I can't remember the name of the chemist who was working on the benzene ring, but he went to sleep and he had a dream of the Ouroboros, the snake biting its own tail. And he woke up going, it's the benzene ring. It's the benzene ring. So, and then this wonderful, wonderful phrase, again, Deborah probably knows a great deal more. Alam al-Mithral, the world, oh, Arabic, the world where images are real. We go, right. And you can read more of that. But just the phrase, the Alam al-Mithral, that's very much where Neptune is taking us, the Alam al-Mithral. We go, ooh, right. So again, anybody who wants to unmute yourself, I think everybody's got the autonomous capacity to do such a thing. So, right. And then I did have, just something that, again, that I'd sent you, but I do want to bring it up because it's so wonderful. You know, for years I'd been, you know, quoting different parts of Mary Poppins. And I ran across from a different council that I'd been, let's see, here we go. Okay. The thing over there. we sent it to you on Friday, but as we remember, Mary Poppins, not the horrible movie, not Julie Andrews, Mary Poppins was a shaman, right? And the quest begins with questions. So P.L. Travers, a true mythological scholar, had, you know, incompetent parents in Australia. And so she formed this question, as we might do, what will take care of life when the human grown-ups aren't doing it? And it was that question that guided her, excuse me, to go around the world studying feminine shamanism as maybe one of the answers. And so Mary Poppins is not, she's not to be, she is a shaman. She's not to be messed with. But one of the fabulous parts that I love in the very first book, Mary Poppins, and there's a great link. You can read all about it. It's in Friday's missive to you all. Her birthday's on the full moon, and she takes the children entrusted to her to the zoo, where the Hamadryad serpent is her relative. And here's what he says. At the zoo, the animals are free and the humans are in cages, just for reversal magic. And the Hamadryad serpent says, even I can meet a barnacle goose without any thought of dinner on this occasion. And after all, it may be that to eat and be eaten are the same thing in the end. My wisdom tells me that this is probably so. We are all made of the same stuff. The same substance composes us. The tree overhead, the stone beneath, the bird, the beast, the star. We are all one, all moving to the same end. Look, and he nodded his head towards the moving mass of creatures before them. Birds and animals were now swaying together, closely encircling Mary Poppins, who was rocking lightly from side to side. Backwards and forwards went the swaying crowd, keeping time together. Saturn, rhythm, and the moon seemed to be rocking in the sky as a ship rocks on the sea. Bird and beast and stone and star, we are all one, All one, mumbled the Hamadryad serpent, as he himself swayed between the children. Child and serpent, star and stone, all one. When I ran across that, I remembered someone reading that to me when I was like six, and going, yeah, that's how it is, right? We forget and then remember. What have we forgotten that we must remember? It's like, I remembered that. I mean, before I was a left-wing, cynical, precocious teenager, I was completely an animist, right? And children's literature so fed that, you know, and Mrs. Dennis saw fairies and I was really into it. Had invisible friends, you know. So there's that, you know, again, this conversational creation. And it's one of the most powerful parts of the book that I reference often. You know, so Mary is entrusted with the middle class children, and she says, I'm going to liberate you from your middle class parents' values. They look down on street people. I'm going to introduce you to street people who can paint doors in the wall of reality through which we can travel. Right. You know, and the twin babies entrusted to her understand the language of the wind and the trees and the birds. And she says, you're going to forget. And they go, no. And she goes, there's ways of remembering, but you're going to forget. And it's this powerful moment where they forget. Right. And that's kind of where we are. It's like, just to remember that, right. There are ways to which we are dedicated, you know, to remember, you know, and there's a wonderful link in the thing that will help us all. But so, I continue to find that super powerful. And again, you know, children's literature being banned, right? This is new. Children's literature used to slide by, you know, and smuggle magic, you know, to us all, and the power of Mary Poppins. Because what P.L. Travers did is she found these powerful myths and translated them into children's literature vernacular. And, you know, may it be for all of us to find something worthy and wonderful to translate. Remember that the new moon just behind us was at a degree of connecting to our lineage, known or unknown. You know, it's reporting in dreams, in reverie, in synchronicity, you know, reporting in, and we get to go, okay, you know, whatever comes to, you know, each customized, right? Whatever comes to me, I will bring it alive through fresh expression, you know, I will, you know, open portals between worlds to invite in whatever we need. We will experiment. You know, Uranus, nature's evolutionary trickster genius, has no category about success fail. It's like, try stuff. Try making a collage. Try doing that thing. You know, try that. Nope. Try that. Nope. Try that. Because they're when you get the right thing, it's like tossing a line into a dark pool, you know, and then, whoa, you feel like, oh, there's it's real, and that's where we're playing. So, team, anybody want to comment or whatever? Oh, there's a more wonderful things in the missive. We know it was sent out a little late because, you know, time, but that's great. So, are we all up for rising to the occasion? And again, Buffy St. Marie is so good at this. If we're good for now, our outro, you know, many of you might have seen this, but again, it's something I love every time. It's Buffy St. Marie and these fabulous accomplices. And it's, you know, Spirit of the Wind, you know, what kind of time is now? And it's like, this time, you know, and also just to remember that when she recorded this, she was 76. She's 82 now. So here we go, team. On our way out, remember to feel free to undulate. All right. And so here we go with Buffy St. Marie and her accomplices and Spirit of the Wind.
knows your face, coming and going in all the sun. So you better hang on and hey, you better run. Cause here's your chance and your race has begun. Different people in your soul. Feel like a loser until you see that as you bend, you learn to be your own best friend. And you learned how and you learned when to take a chance on the spirit of the wind.
All right. Thank you, team. Woof, 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 woof. Whoa, off to the equinox. Here we are. Good night. Rousing.